Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey's the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. And if you'd like to see the links and pictures and whatever else we end up talking about over the next 20 minutes, that all appears in the show notes. And you can access the show notes by going to verypink.com and clicking the podcast tab at the top of the page. And this is episode number 81. And I think this episode is chock full of magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started on those.
Okay. Hi, ladies. My question is sort of a two-parter about organization and storage. I hope it's not too lengthy. Thank you in advance for taking the time. I'm a bit of an organization freak. I don't know why that's got me fuddled.
Organization freak.
And I'd like to have a place for everything and everything in its place. Pretty much the only thing around my house without a label is the label maker. But I haven't yet found a great way to keep record of projects I've made, for whom, what size, etc., other than scribbling a note on the pattern itself. I love Ravelry and Google Docs for electronic record keeping, but I also like to have things on actual paper, maybe even with a bit of yarn attached. I don't like to have lots of extra stuff stored, but I find myself referencing past projects often. I'd love to hear your suggestions. You want to start there?
Yeah, I can answer that one. She has a couple of questions. I can answer that one first, because it's not very different from what I do. Mm-hmm. And you and I were just talking earlier today that you and I both like to work from printed patterns. Mm-hmm. Even though we have screens around us, mm-hmm. access to so many screens, you and I both work from printed patterns so that we're able to take notes. Now, the reason that came up, that occurred to me with this question, is because I put my patterns in plastic sleeves, mm-hmm. and then I have a notebook for a three-ring binder for hats, for sweaters, for blankets, for baby, you know, a separate one. And so when I'm finished with the pattern, I put it in there. But she's talking about being able to have a little piece of yarn or something. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're using the plastic sleeve, mm-hmm. and putting it in the binder, you can throw yarn or something in there.
Yeah. I actually, before Ravelry, and I was just getting to knit, somebody gave me a gift that was a knitter's journal or something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a really pretty book. It's just like a half page size, and it's got like graph paper if you wanted to design stuff, but it's also like a journal where you have a little spot for a picture and a piece where you can stick some yarn in it and make notes.
That's what I have, the same thing before Ravelry, where I could put like the receipt from where I bought it, because I was living in Europe at the time. And so I have like a lot of European receipts in there. Mm-hmm. A little bit of the yarn, like who I sent it to, the thank you card they sent me back. Mm-hmm. And it is a much richer experience to have all of that together.
Yeah.
But I think, as awesome as that is, Ravelry is the way to really keep things easily organized, to find it again.
But it sounds like she's going to have it all coordinated and organized.
Yeah, but she's super
she's super organized. This is
she's
not
an organization freak is what she has said.
It's not a solution for me. Okay.
Let's keep going.
In a similar light, I'm looking for the best way to store knitted gifts. I like to plan ahead and do gift and knitting, especially Christmas gifts, throughout the year. Otherwise, I dread it as just another holiday to do, not to mention the sore hands. Anyways, do you have any suggestions for this? Should I wash and block right away or wait till just before? We have a dog, two cats, two kids under three, so I definitely need a way to keep things clean, fresh, and out of the clutches of well-meaning and adorable yet curious and messy kids and pets. Thank you so much for everything. Jocelyn from North Smithfield, Rhode Island.
Okay, Jocelyn, to get to your second question here, this is something that I do. I knit all my Christmas gifts, and this is what I do. And it should answer your questions here if I just tell you the way that I do it. I knit the thing. I wash and block the thing. I put the thing in a plastic storage bin. And Casey, you can see the storage bin behind me, because I was putting some hats in there earlier.
Yeah.
And that's where I keep the Christmas presents. And then when it gets to be like October or whatever, I pull out the spreadsheet. Maybe I'm a bit of an organization freak too. I pull out the spreadsheet that has the tabs for every year, so I can see what I gave them last year and the year before. So I don't give them something. If they got a hat and scarf last year, then I have to give them something else next year. So my family, everybody gets knitted gifts. I go into the bin. I see what I have. I see what I need, because everyone gets a pair of socks. It's all safe and clean and away from the dogs and whatever, moths or zombies, whatever. It's in the bin. And usually what I'll do right before I send it out is I'll just kind of steam it a little bit, get the creases out of it, then I can wrap it and send it on, but it's already clean. If I had to weave in ends and do all the blocking all at once right before Christmas.
Oh, no.
What do you
How
do?
Many people do you knit for in the holidays? Over the year?
Well, I always end up doing some charity stuff, and I'm not going to count that. Like the people I actually
knit for. The people you have on your spreadsheet that you have to keep up with.
1, 2, 3, 4 for sure. My mom and my two sisters, and like I think that's mostly it.
Oh,
I knit stuff for other people too, but that's mostly it. But they end up getting like a pair of socks each. They end up getting.
They just get like what they get.
Yeah, but they end up getting like 3 or 4 things each.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I knit a lot for them. And they're in Alaska and they wear it and they love it and they can use it and stuff. Yeah. So it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I used to have a much longer knitting Christmas gift list mm-hmm. than I do now. Like when I was married, like I don't knit for my ex's family. Yeah, yeah, they were easy to take off the list when I split up. But now, like as far as my nieces and nephews go, like they should be excited about what I do for a living and the fact that they can get some knitted stuff. But no, I send them Amazon gift cards. Yeah. It's just easier. And I tell them, just please buy books with it. Just please. Because now you can buy anything with Amazon gift cards, right?
Yeah.
It used to be, here's your book gift certificate. Mm-hmm. And now it's anything. And I said, just please don't buy video games. Just buy a book or something.
Yeah.
They always promise. I don't know what they buy. How many people do you knit for?
No, I don't. I mean, I knit for my stepmom. I've knit for her a couple of years in a row because she truly appreciates it and like wears it.
Yeah.
I don't like knitting. My mom knits, so I guess I should knit for her too. But
people who knit like to get knitted gifts too.
Yeah. My sister's hateful about the knitting, so she doesn't get any.
She's hateful about the knitting. No, that's her punishment. If she's going to be hateful about the knitting, she does not get anything.
She doesn't get anything ever because she's...
Okay, your mom listens to this podcast.
She's cracking up right now.
Are you doing this for an audience of one for
your
mom?
Yes. No, she's the one who knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure that people out there who have friends and family who have...
We all do.
Who are like, don't get it and talk bad about it or tease you about it.
Yeah. Yes, there was one time this gal, I'll leave it really basic, but I helped her out with something and she was grateful to me for help. It had nothing to do with knitting.
Right.
But she knows what I do for a living. And she said to me, gosh, maybe I should learn to knit. LOL.
What? That's so rude. She's never getting knitting.
And then I was like questioning, like, why was I so nice? Why was I just so nice to you and did this really big thing to help you? She was going through a difficult time.
Yeah.
And she asked for help from people and I helped her.
Yeah.
And then she said, maybe I should learn to knit. LOL. It's like,
No,
you shouldn't. We don't want you.
Yeah. And then people say, oh, that's cute or something like that. And I'm like, shut up. Anyway, so I don't knit. I mean, I knit for my mother-in-law a couple times, but I'm not the organizational genius that we're talking about.
It is like what Jocelyn is saying here. It is some work to not only like knit, have the list and the knitting and everything, but to get everything together and done. I mean, it's a lot of work just to get, I mean, just coming out of Christmas right now, but to get everything together and done and wrapped and
washed,
sent. And, ends woven. There's so much to do all leading up to one day when people unwrap presents.
Yeah.
So if you are knitting, you're knitting for your husband, you're knitting for your kids.
Yeah.
You just do it throughout the year.
He's my best customer now. And your husband. I haven't shown you, I haven't taken pictures of the Doppelt. I finished it finally.
You can't say the name.
I can't say it, but it looks good.
Yeah. And you did it in kind of masculine colors.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you finished.
Yeah. I need to, because we were sick and I was like, here's your hat. So I will take some pictures later.
Okay, good. I want to see. Okay, we can go to the next. We spent a lot of time on Jocelyn's question.
This is our therapy session. All right. Dear Stacy and Kate. Wait, did we answer? No. Okay, sorry. I am working on a simple raglan cardigan, and I want to substitute a different ribbing on the bottom. My question is about edging stitches like I've seen in stitch books. Can most ribbing patterns be knit top-down? What is the best type of edging to put on a top-down sweater? From what I see in my book, lace-type edgings need to be knit bottom-up and then attached to a top-down garment. Am I making any sense? Thanks for all your helpful videos and the podcast, Jennifer in Katy, Texas.
Hi, Jennifer. I am looking at your, you want a different ribbing to put on a top-down sweater, and My answer to your first question is yes, ribbing should be, it should be fine knit top down or bottom up. I think if there is kind of a top or bottom, a right side up, upside down kind of a look to the ribbing, I bet if you turn it the other way, it will still look good.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a ribbing that would ever look weird, quote unquote, upside down. But now the second part of this question, I'm not sure that I'm getting. What is the best type of edging to put on a top-down sweater? From what I see in my book, lace-type edgings need to be knit bottom-up. Okay, maybe that's part of
it's the lace pattern, you know.
But again, I'm thinking that if you have a lace pattern and you have, you know, it's pictured in the book, quote-unquote, right side up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn it upside down, it still looks great.
The actual lace pattern, like turn the whole thing upside down and knit the thing upside down, or knit, or
no,
follow the instructions upside down.
Follow the instructions upside down.
Yeah.
Good point. Thank you for clarifying that. Follow the instructions upside down. So if you have something that is maybe, you know, a petal leaf pattern mm-hmm. right side up, isn't it going to be pretty this way too?
I don't know, because that's what I was going to use as the example. Like a leaf pattern, you've got like slip knits, or, you know.
No, yeah, no, I'm not suggesting working the chart the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You follow the instructions exactly as written. And yeah, follow the instructions exactly as written. So the lace pattern will appear upside down from the way it's photographed in the book.
Oh.
But no. You can't just take a charted lace pattern and work it the opposite way. No, that won't work.
Yeah.
There's more
involved. I think that's the question.
Oh.
But I don't think that's an issue with ribbing.
But she's talking about lace here.
Yeah. But that's not the same case for like a ribbing. 2x2 ribbing is the same thing upside down and
yeah.
Bottom up.
Right. Okay. I think I went kind of off the rails and answered way more than she asked. Jennifer, if we missed something, feel free to get back in touch. You know, a few episodes ago, we did follow up comments. We read them here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always an option.
You can
always comment on the blog post that contains the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always read them on the next episode or something.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Stacy and Casey, I was wondering if either of you have certain garments or accessories that you know the needle size and stitch count that you need for it, and the item is plain enough that you don't need a pattern. For example, I know that for socks, I need 56 stitches on a US-2 needle, and I know how to make a sock, so I don't generally go and look for patterns for them. I'm going to stop there and let you answer.
Oh, let me answer this first one. I was so involved in listening to you. you have?
Not really. I mean, I could make up a scarf pattern or...
That's what I'm thinking, like a one row scarf or a seed stitch scarf or something, but I don't
not even
myself
a hat.
Rely on that. No, because I could use a chunky yarn and then mm-hmm. a sock weight yarn. And the book that we've talked about a lot on this show is the Ann Budd...
Handy Book of Pat.
You're looking behind me to see if it's on the shelf. It's not. It's in my office. But what I'll do usually is I want to make something as simple as like, you said a hat
mm-hmm.
and it's worsted and I happen to know that I get 6 stitches per inch with this yarn and size 8 needles. That's what I know.
Yeah.
And then I go and then I can see that Ann Budd tells me to cast on X number of stitches. But no, I never would actually wing it for a hat anyway.
Yeah.
Because you get into trouble when you start doing the decreases.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I got to a point, I made a whole bunch of bulky sleep socks and I kind of memorized that pattern.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that.
No.
Okay.
I don't. Yeah. I guess if you're just making plain Jane socks and you know the cast on number and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I think that you and I are both like always scouring Ravelry for cool things, you know, trying to do something a little bit different. And yeah, that's a good question though.
Yeah. Also in this episode, Clapotit in Paris, you mentioned being able to buy wine, but not liquor in the grocery store. And I'd like to say that in Mississippi, the only alcohol you can buy in grocery stores is beer and like mixers. You have to get wine at the liquor store.
What?
I know. This is Marielle from Mississippi.
Marielle, I'm so sorry that you have to go to the liquor store. You know, there were
she
a few
could
states.
Order wine. That's I wonder a, if you could
well,
order
no,
wine.
No, because I know that Wink, you and I both use Wink.
Yeah.
And they've been a sponsor on our podcast before.
Uh-huh.
So I have my wine delivered to my front door, but Wink can't deliver to every state.
Yeah. And there's a similar thing. Like I was looking at this whiskey tasting subscription that you can get, and you can't get it in Texas.
You can't get it in Texas?
Mm-mm.
I thought Texas was a little drinky that way.
No, you can get wine, but you can't get hard liquor delivered.
You can probably get guns delivered in Texas.
Yeah. You can.
You can get guns delivered, but not whiskey.
Not wine.
Let's go on. Before we get ourselves in trouble, let's go on to the next question.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I'm so glad that you added these podcasts to your already great videos. I really look forward to Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have a basic question about the why of two-stranded knitting or holding two strands together. I realize that if you want to add additional colors, each thread a different color, thickness, or texture, but what if you want to make it a solid color? I'm planning on making a blanket that mentions using two strands of worsted or Aran together. Since it's a blanket, I can figure out a gauge that is close enough for what I need if I just use a bulky yarn. Am I missing something? Is there a reason that I'm unaware of such as airiness or some sort of cool texture derived from two strands of the same solid color held together? Since I've never knit a pattern that required two strands, I'm clueless. This is Dot from Indianapolis.
Dot, you're great. I love the way you're thinking through this so hard. Is there some kind of airiness or some sort of cool texture derived? These are her words. No, Dot, you're not missing anything. You're doing a great job of thinking about this more than you actually need to. If you can get the same gauge using bulky yarn instead of two strands of worsted yarn held together, that's fine. You're gold. That's great. You can absolutely knit your blanket with bulky yarn instead of two strands. And you know what? There was something, a few weeks ago, I was knitting bulky sleep socks, and someone in the comments where I posted, you don't have to edit that out because that's my phone making a little noise. And when we record, I always have my phone on silent, but the puppy's at daycare right now. And I can't completely turn everything off when the puppy's at daycare because I have to be, I have to be more alert. Anyway, you don't
like
have to edit
like
that out.
Real mom.
Like a real mom. Anyway, I posted a picture on Facebook of the bulky sleep socks, and I was glad that someone commented that they said, I've got some worsted leftovers. I'm going to hold double-stranded to knit these socks. And I thought, you know what? I haven't thought about that in a long time. It's a great way to use up worsted leftovers, because we always end up with more worsted leftovers than anything else, right? So holding it double-stranded is a good way to do that. Now, Dot's talking about going the opposite direction and using bulky yarn instead of holding something double-stranded.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those patterns, I just literally this weekend put a pattern on my queue that is knit with two strands held together, but she also said, but if you want to use bulky yarn, here's the measurements you need, or here's the yardage you need.
Right.
So
that's smart that she actually gives you the yardage for it too. Yeah, no, Dot, you're not missing anything, but you are a good thinker when it comes to knitting stuff, like thinking of all the possibilities of what might be happening. I think it's great. Okay.
Is that it? Or we got one more?
Yep, one more.
This is just really a comment. Just wanted to pass along my thanks for reminding me that I can switch out needles. I think it was podcast 11 or 12 when Casey talked about...
That was a long time ago.
I know. When Casey talked about a garment she'd put aside and wondered why she had done so, then she considered changing the needles and voila, not voila, but the French word.
Not viola.
Not viola.
Yeah.
She was able to successfully finish the project. That was a perfect reminder for me, so thanks for getting me off the dime.
I don't remember what this... You were knitting something and then you changed needles?
I think it's a scarf that I had put aside for a while. I was trying to think of what that was because that was like a year and a half ago. But I do remember like the needles I was using were kind of like older and they were slower. And then I switched and all of a sudden, boom.
Like you switched out the needles and you fell back in love with this project. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Because like looking at the project, I was like, I don't like that project. And then I realized it was the needles.
It was the needles all along. So it's like a movie.
It's like a kid's book. It was the needles.
There's more. Is there more to this question here?
No, it's just a thank you and thanks for the website and the podcast and having trouble finding on Pinterest, however. So we'll put a link to Pinterest because there's a lot of all the videos and patterns are there on Pinterest. So
there's also a link at the bottom of my website to Pinterest.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all... The website guy worked really hard to make cool buttons at the bottom of my webpage for all this. So go to verypink.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, and all my social media buttons are there. You can also sign up for our quarterly newsletter there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's Maria from Chicago.
Thank you, Maria from Chicago. Thank you. She did say some nice things there.
Yeah.
That is all we have time for.
Okay.
Okay. So, Casey, if people want to find you and your awesome social media buttons.
I'm on... kcknits.com. That's the letter K, the letter C.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes as well. You can find me on, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or verypink.com. And I don't need to say again that all my social media, I always say that when I, this is like part of my routine to say that, but I just said it a minute ago, so I'm not going to say it again. Anyway, that is all we have time for this week. So until next time, stay warm, my friends.